Yes, indeed. It is a privilege. I know it's a privilege for me to join with you this morning as we delve into the last chapter of Galatians, chapter 6, and I hope it is a privilege for you to be joining Runner for Christ Ministries as we get to do one of the most awesome things around, and that's to study the Word of God. My name is June Rogers, and I'd like to begin our class, of course, with a word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given us. We see this as an opportunity. We are grateful for this word that you have given us. It has answers to any question that we could possibly dream of. It tells us what we need to know so that we can live the kind of life that you want us to live, not the stinky old little lives that we just been kind of struggling our way through, because you got answers. So we just thank you once again, and Lord, I just pray that whatever message that's contained in this chapter that you want them to get individually, that they will get it. I pray that light bulbs will pop up in their brain and that the sun will just shine forth through your word. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word. We pray this in your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we find ourselves here at the last chapter of Galatians. Now, you know I always like to try to do some illustrations. Haven't really done it so much with this book. But what I'm going to ask you to do now as we're preparing for the class, and what's really kind of cool is because you can do this because you're on the Blog Talk Radio, I want you to think about a product or an item, something that you like that you buy from the store, and I want you to go get it. So ideally, if you've got something that hasn't been opened yet, maybe what I've got here in front of me are these little sugar-free snack cups. And don't let me even start to get on this subject of this, because I want to say that they're candy, but Ray, of course, my husband would say, is not really candy, these little peanut butter cups, because they don't have sugar in them. But that's what I've got. I've got a box that's open. I've got one that's unopened, and then it has individual packs in it. I also have a bottle of perfume, one of my favorite bottles. So just go get a product that you like, and then just get it, put it to the side, and just before we finish up, we'll have a little bit of discussion. I think it brings a good illustration to our topic. So last week, the would you rather question involved whether you wanted to take the very hard test, a very hard test, or create a difficult test for another person. I did get some responses, with everyone basically saying they would rather take the hard test than create one for someone else. And I just like to say you all are just really true Christians, because your responses suggested that you would rather sacrifice yourself and go through a really difficult test than to put someone else through a difficult test. You also felt like it would take a lot more time to devise a test for someone else, and I agree. I was trying to relate this exercise to false teachers who basically were setting an impossible challenge that they even themselves could not pass with the law. We have an easy test in that it's only one question on it. Will you accept God's grace through the salvation of Christ Jesus? One question and one answer, and that answer should be yes. Now, today's question is this. Would you rather fall down a dark flight of steps landing in a hole, or would you rather fall down into a well-lit hole but no stairs? I heard that. You just said, I would rather not fall down into a hole, period. Well, while we're talking about holes, did you hear about the 6-year-old girl who died earlier this month who fell out of an amusement park ride? The ride called the Haunted Mine Drop plunges 110 feet at about 96 feet per second down a cave. All I got to say is no thanks. And I notice now that I've gotten older, I don't really like to get on amusement park rides. And I guess just now, I really hadn't thought about it, but do you think that amusement park rides are tempting God? Just something to think about in your spare time. So as I started looking closely at this last chapter, I realized that there was something to say about just about every verse. And I'm thinking that since this is the last chapter, it's basically like concluding remarks in a letter. It's like that stuff you tell your kids just before they leave the house, you know, important reminders that you want to remain fresh in their minds. That's the tone of this last chapter. So I basically have something to say about each individual verse, but since it's a relatively short chapter, I think that we can get away with it. So let's get started. Verse 1 reads, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." See what I mean? I haven't even read the entire verse, and I've already got something to say. So those of you who attend Runner for Christ have heard Pastor O recite this scripture frequently. I think he does so because he doesn't want to see any fights break out in our church. I'm kind of joking because I've really never even seen anybody come close to this. But we are all tempted outside of the church in our personal lives to deal with people who are, quote, unquote, overcome by some sin, especially when that sin affects us. Take the spouse who has a habit that sucks up most of the family income, including what is needed to live off of. Or what about the person who's sleeping around to the point of breaking up marriages? Sometimes we see that in churches. Sometimes we see that at jobs. Notice that these two examples involve continued sin. In this scripture, Paul is specific addressing one who is overcome by sin, as opposed to someone who may have engaged in a random sin. If we got involved in the life of another believer each time they sin, it would be like having a law enforcement Christians, and that's not what's being suggested here. So Paul is acknowledging that we should not ignore the type of sin that has overrun a person or those that he or she interacts with. Then he tells us who should deal and how to deal with the person. The two words he gives us in helping to restore the one entrenched in sin is gently and humbly. Those two words are an interesting match. One concerns the receiver of a message and the other the sender of the message. When we think of gently, we're thinking of the person who we are speaking to. Just like the Holy Spirit is gentle and dealing with us, so should we be when interacting with another person about their continued sin. Remember that gentle and weak are not the same thing. In fact, it may take strength to approach a person gently as opposed to harshly. Why? Think about the goal. You're more likely to win a person over with a gentle approach as opposed to a rough one. Now, with the respect to being humble, this is where, as a sender of a message, we need to get our heart and head right. Have you ever had anyone talk down to you? If I could hear your answer, I'm thinking most of you would say yes, and I suspect that not only could you recall immediately such a situation, you may have even remembered that you didn't like how it felt either. I suspect that a label you would attach to the person who spoke down to you, at least at the time, would have been arrogant. That's because the person likely came across as if they were better than you. So you see, when people approach you with a level of superiority, it's natural to want to resist them. The same is true of one you would want to help restore that is in sin. If you are really humble, not pretending, that's going to come through that you're really trying to help, not because you're in charge and flexing your muscles. Also, I think being humble helps you with your level of compassion or empathy. When you accept that you're no better than the person, it will help you with being humble. I think this is why many peer counselors and ministries like Alcoholics Anonymous happens to work. The recovering alcoholic can relate humbly to the alcoholic needing recovery because that person has been in that situation. Beyond a gentle and humble approach, the third point is specifically who should be involved in this intervention. Verse 1 says that it is the godly that should help the person get back on the right path. What does he mean by godly? Well, we know that godly does not mean perfect, right? I found a lot of attempts to define godly or godliness. I think it just means being like God, not from the standpoint of his deity, responsibility, or authority, but from the standpoint of his persona that he has imparted to us. In other words, his expectations of our attitudes and behavior according to his word. So we're speaking of a person who is pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus as one qualified to help with the restoration. One who is following God through Christ. No, not perfect, but working at being perfected. So would an unbeliever be up to the task? No. There's a reason, though, that the Lord tells us in Psalm 1 to not seek the advice of the ungodly. That is simply the blind leading the blind. Okay, how about this? Would a person who is overcome by the same sin be qualified? I'm going to say no, especially if we're talking about overcome. Not like, you know, someone who's recovering and pressing, like the situation I brought up with Alcoholic Anonymous, but somebody who is entrenched in that same sin right then, even if they are saved, I would say that's probably not the best person. Stay with me now on why it's important for the godly to be involved as it leads to the next point. The rest of verse 1 says, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. This is probably a lot easier to happen than one thinks. If you get close to fire, it is possible to get burned. It's why firefighters have a lot of training. They have to know about the nature of fire so they can assess when and where is the best way to approach it. They have to know enough to be able to anticipate what direction a fire will burn. They especially need to have training on how to contain, control, and extinguish a fire, right? So then, same here if you're going to ensure that you do not fall into the same temptation as the person you're trying to help. You need to have some awareness too, and it starts with being godly. If you know that you struggle with a certain sin, and through godly advice you've guarded against temptations, say by avoiding going into bars if you're an alcoholic, then if a few deacons are going to help rescue a drunk church member from our club, there is nothing that says you have to be among that group. I know this sounds like it's not a big deal, but I have read about so-called hunters being captured by the gang. Probably the worst of this I've heard about is a detective investigating pedophiles becoming one himself. After repeated exposure to viewing child pornography images, he himself started developing urges and got caught up. And as shocking as it seems, I suspect this may be a much bigger problem than has come to light. So, yes, we need to be godly. We have to put on our breastplates of righteousness. Verse 2 reads, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. We know that we need to be obedient, but that involves knowing what we are being told to do. We act as though sharing each other's burden is optional, that it's something we can do if we want to, which is true. But if we want to be obedient, we have to see that sharing each other's burdens is not optional. It's an order. Verse 3, if you think you're too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Ouch. Did anyone else just get checked like me? So you got your nice suit on and your nice clothes. You got that important job, and you just don't have time to be bothered with any ministry, let alone a helps ministry. Well, if that's how you feel, you're only fooling yourself. Consider the various people who Jesus mentioned in Luke 10 when encountering the man who had been robbed and beaten. I think it's safe to say that both the priest and the Levite, who upon seeing the wounded man pass by on the other side of the road, possibly thought they were too important to help the man. It's funny how even today we do this. When we see something that we don't want to get involved in, we cross the street or try to get away as far from the situation as we can. Oh, and of course, we start with diverting our eyes and making sure we don't have eye connection with that person. I think it's almost a way that we can kind of keep ourselves separate. That's a whole discussion all by itself. But just think about these things and think about what it is that the Lord is trying to get across to us. We almost have to dice things up and think about it from the perspective of our own lives as we're trying to be doers of the word. Verse 4, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Sounds like he's saying here, don't get involved in the blame game. I know that everyone's experienced that coworker who always has an excuse for not getting their work done. Betty didn't remember to buy ink, so I couldn't print the report out. You didn't tell me it was due this Friday. I thought you meant next Friday. Paul is reminding us that our work is on us. We have the responsibility to do a good job. And what does he say is the secret to success? Pay careful attention to your own work. When we pay careful attention, we will know when our deadlines are, and we will not miss them. When we pay careful attention, we are aware of the things we need to ensure that the job can be completed, such as ink and paper. Just bought some the other day, by the way, and just literally had to fill it in before I got on the air so that I could print out some of what I needed to say. What's the payoff for preparation? Paul says that we will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And this doesn't just apply to our work that we have to do and our chores at the job. It has to do with running our households and the things that we need to do for our family. I don't know what kind of satisfaction the complainers or slackers get other than bugging the rest of us, but I can tell you that it does feel good to get the job done. And here's the other payoff. Then you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. You've heard those complaints, too, at work that go something like this. George thinks he's all that because he got a good evaluation or he got a promotion. That's just hating, and we're better than that as God's children. If we uphold the standard of Colossians 3, 23-24, by whatever we do, working at it with all our hearts as working for the Lord, not for human masters, knowing we are serving the Lord, then we won't feel tempted to compare ourselves to others. For a long time, I have competed with me. This causes me to want to achieve more based on what I've done, not what others have done. Verse 6, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Now, Paul is jumping from focusing in on self back to focusing on others. Do we really need holidays like Teacher Appreciation Day, which is coming up this year on October 5th, or Clergy Appreciation Day, which is coming up on October 10th? Every day we should strive to share good things with those who teach us. The scripture here gives us two instructions. Provide for them, which suggests that their needs should be met by those of us who are being taught. Also, it says, sharing all good things with them. That's open for wide interpretation. So, hey, every now and then, show up with a beautiful apple or something better every now and then. So, you know, one part of this is making sure their needs get met. The other part of this is their wants. You know, doing something good. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I think we can talk about verses 7 to 10 together. So I had an interpretation of verse 7 where it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You always harvest what you plant. I used to think that it was akin to the worldly phrase of what goes around comes around. But now I can see that it really is not so much about the principle of retribution as it's about reaping. Look there at verse 6 that raises sin. So let's say a politician lives to satisfy his sinful nature of pride, arrogance, hate, dissension, cheating in election, oppression of the poor, and many other evil tendencies. These are things the politician has planted. At some point in time, there will be a decayed and deadly harvest arising from those polluted seeds. So while we may derive some worldly satisfaction by watching such a poor leader's fall, we cannot say it's because God is necessarily retaliating. The spiritual principle of reaping and harvesting most likely caught up the dear leader. Rather than delight in the fall, we must all remember that this spiritual principle applies to us all. So what are you planning? What should you plant? Verse 9 suggests that if we live to please the Spirit, which above everything is accepting and following Jesus Christ, then we will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Verse 10 reminds us not to get tired of doing what is good, but to take advantage of every opportunity to do good. That would be like the Good Samaritan who helped the man get settled, leaving the inn and coming across another man just up the street. Should he think I already helped one person so I don't have time to keep doing this? Paul said if we keep on doing good at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. And we can all testify to God and his timing. Haven't you ever felt that he shows up with a blessing just in time? Well, this is like blessings in the bank. You do your part and God's got you. What about this comment about especially to those in the family of faith? It's a little curious, don't you think? We are supposed to be good to everyone, but here it seems to say that you're being asked to give other believers special treatment. I don't really think that's what it's saying. I think this is Paul's way of shaking us. like saying, come on now, you're not going to leave your church family out in the cold, are you? Okay, let's read Paul's final advice starting in verse 11. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Wish I could see that actual manuscript so I could see just how large the letters were. But the point is that he wanted to put emphasis on the final point, which is basically a strong reminder of the whole point of this chapter. So he goes on to say, those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Woo! So Mike, doesn't he? That's it. Down with the law which cannot save you. Ignore those who would lie to you about the need to follow the law with their nonsense and hypocrisy concerning circumcision. The cross of Christ alone is what saves. So let us live by this principle as we new creatures that are being transformed. Peace out. I could just see him literally dropping the mic. What a great word this book of Galatians is. God saw fit to ensure that we could tell the difference between freedom and enslavement, between the law and his saving grace. He has told us to live in freedom from the law, freedom from sin, and freedom to serve him. Okay, so I asked you at the beginning to get yourself a product, a box of something, a bottle of something, whatever. So if you look at this, and this is probably something that you bought a lot, this product. So when you go in a store, you don't have to necessarily read what it says on the box. You can, you know, by looking at the shape, you already know that's your product. You just reach over and you just grab the box. But take a minute to look at it carefully now and think about the things that kind of make up this product's packaging that sends you the message that this is the authentic, that this is the real thing. There may be coloring on the box, different pictures, all those kinds of things. So one time I went and bought my, at the time, which was my favorite perfume, and I bought it in New York at one of those vendors, street vendors. And it wasn't even, you know, like a big difference in the price, maybe just a couple of dollars difference. So, you know, a lot of times that makes you suspect if someone's trying to sell you something and the price is, you know, drastically different. It makes you wonder, is this a knockoff or if it's the real deal? But in this case, it was packaged the same. It was in a box. There was plastic on top of it. The coloring looked identical. And then when I got it home and started to wear it, I was like, this doesn't smell right. I literally could tell that I couldn't smell this perfume. And then time went on, I was just like, I don't know. I just told myself that maybe it was a bad batch. But one day, I ended up buying some more, and I looked at them closer. And what I found, the only difference was, and I'm looking at this lid, I thought I had the one because I keep it for a class that I talk about, a criminal justice class, and people, you know, selling knockoffs and stuff. And the only difference was when you pick off the top, it looks different on the inside because it's kind of intricate. And whoever the imposter was that did this counterfeit, they had it down to the detail. So the point that I just kind of want to make about that is a lot of times while, you know, you may not be able to tell the difference about something on the outside, one of the big things, because it's a horrible feeling when you think you got one thing, you find out you got something else. And this, and when we're talking about the difference between the law and grace, I mean that's huge. That could have implications for forever in your life. So it's important that we get it right, that we seek the truth and that we know the truth. And so with this, it was the source. It wasn't reputable. It wasn't someone that I should have trusted that I was really getting the legit thing. Let me give you a final analogy that I thought about when I was taking notes on this chapter. I thought about someone who had a legitimate ticket purchased at a stadium that they could have complete confidence that would get them in on game day. But that person was foolish enough to be convinced by a quick-talking shyster that they should substitute that ticket for one being purchased from a scalper. You know, those people who walk around the stadium selling stolen or fraudulently manufactured tickets. Who does that? It's the same thing that a person who knows Jesus for real is doing when they choose to believe in false teaching about substituting the grace of God through salvation in Jesus for the law. Don't go for the phony baloney. And just the last thing I want to say about Galatians chapter 6 is if you know anyone struggling with self-confidence issues, recommend that they read this book. Galatians provides a journey where you can get to the place where you can care more about what God thinks of you than others. It's easy to start second-guessing yourself, but you, if you're true to what God is telling you to do, you're good. Last reflection, thinking about grabbing a hold of your rights and holding on tight, is that truly freedom? Do you feel free? If you've not already done so, please ask God to reveal to you by his word and the power of the Holy Spirit what you should do. As you listen for an answer, recognize that true freedom comes with obedience. God has told us to love one another. Loving others means that I am not looking for anything in return. I can say no worries and mean it. God bless you all. Kathy, you got it.
Hey, hey, Sister Deaconess June Rogers. How you doing? Thanks. Good lesson. Good lesson.
Yeah, I got wrapped it up. Around me.
What'd you say?
No, I said I got all these boxes around me. My little slim, fast, keto, fat bomb peanut butter cup that I can't convince anybody to taste, but they're green. They're really good. They're green. I'm saying it.
I just went and found something blue. You know, that's my favorite color. So just me looking at something blue all day just just makes me happy seeing something blue. Mm-hmm. So I went
and
got a blue candle.
You can trust
your
eyeballs because you are not colorblind. Would you trust someone who was colorblind to go and pick something blue out for you?
No.
So we can't trust false teachers.
Wow, sure can't. Good lesson. Yep, just let me see. Do everybody good. So do good to everyone. And Pastor Barlow used to say you would get more honey than vinegar.
There
get
you go.
More with honey than vinegar. Yeah, so
that's right.
Be nice to people. And what I love to do and what I love is what my mom used to say, kill people with kindness. So I kill people with all the kindness that I could conjure up, you know, and that works very well. Yeah.
And that's being godly. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I want to be fall into a well-lit hole so I can see my way some kind of way out, you know, because I don't, you know, we don't like dark, the darkness.
Oh, man, that's a good point. See, I was thinking of the stairs, that if it's stairs, I could feel my way to the stairs, even though I couldn't see. At least I had something to hold on. And you know what? We always got Jesus. So we're never in darkness, right?
Uh-uh, he'll lead us, I'll be thinking it's a rodent or something in there, so I want to see.
Look, I'm glad you're the one.
Let me see.
Hey, y'all, that was Kathy who brought up the rodent.
Show me the light.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you. That was a very good lesson, and you wrapped it up very well, and I'm sure everybody all around the world enjoyed everything that they heard in these last few weeks with Galatians.
Yes.
Thank you
and,
so
and,
much.
And just as an announcement, everyone look forward. I think it's Pastor Jonathan Tate who's going to continue us on in the next book of Ephesians.
Galatians. Is it Galatians or Ephesians?
No, I just did Galatians.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, he's carrying the next book, right. Okay, yes, ma'am. All right, come on, Jonathan. Okay, well, thank you so much, and have the best day ever. We appreciate you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. All right, we are going to have a song, and right after this song, we're going to get right into our worship service, and I'll see you on the other side.
Can I get somebody to help me sing this song to the one we love the most? It's real simple, and it goes like this. I love
your name.
And I love
you. And I love your touch.
I love your voice.
I love your voice.
How it heals my heart.
How it heals my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Somebody say. That's what I'm talking about. Can I say I love your thoughts?
I love your thoughts.
Jesus, I love your ways.
I love your ways.
I love your word.
I love your word.
I love to give you praise.
Love to give you praise.
Oh, Lord. Cry out to him, oh Lamb, oh Lamb, oh Lamb, oh Lamb. My sins held you to that cross. Yes, they did. Oh Lamb, say it again, oh Lamb.
Oh Lamb,
oh Lamb of God. Your love paid the price for us all. Now, if I got two or three believers out there that don't mind singing this with me, lift your voice and say it. I love your name.
I love your name.
I love your touch.
I
love your
touch.
I love your voice.
I love your voice.
How it heals my heart.
How it heals my
oh,
heart.
Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I do.
I love your word.
Love to give you
love
praise.
Praise.
Oh,
oh,
oh, Lord, I'm so in love with you. Once again, everybody, let's call on the Lamb. Lift him up and say it. Yes, they do. Come on, somebody say it again. Oh, Lamb, oh, Lamb of God. Oh, we cry out to you, Lamb. My heart longs for all that you are. Now, come on, somebody say it with a heart of love and a sincere praise. My true desire. And so we cry out today because we love you. Say it.
love song to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Bring it. Come on. Come on. Say it. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I want you to get your voice ready and lift it up as high as you can. Oh, Lamb. Say it. About him and all he's done for you. I know what he's done for me. Come on, somebody. If you don't mind looking back from where he's brought you from, just give him a good I love you, Lord, in your heart right now. And if you're in a place where you could just lift your voice a little bit, just tell him, I love you, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord, I love you. And if you're in a place where you can actually lift your hands and give him glory, just think about how good he is to you and tell him, I love you. I love you. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love, I love, I love, we love you. Oh, somebody said, because we love the Lamb. And this is our love song to the Lamb.
Amen. Amen. Man, oh, Lamb of God, we love you, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. Brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister deaconess, Loretta Welch. Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, I don't see her.
Okay, well, great. Well, we will carry on. Okay, so our scripture this morning is Colossians 3, 1 through 15. That is Colossians 3, 1 through 15, living the new life. Here reads the word of God. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive each other. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Lord, had a blessing to the readers and hearers and doers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Excuse me. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we just thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask you to bless the sick, the shut-in, and heal and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and the preached word so that all who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. And we just thank you, and we are so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you. Lord, I'm nothing without you.
Nothing without you.
Nothing without you. nothing without you. Nothing without you. Nothing without you. I'm nothing but a ship without a sail on, moving aimlessly, tossed to and fro. I'm nothing without you. So breathe through me.
Amen, amen. That's nothing and nobody. Amen. You really don't become somebody until you recognize who the Lord our God is and get into relationship with him through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I didn't know where I came from. I only knew what people told me. And I didn't know what I was doing here. I only knew what I told me. And I didn't know where I was going when I leave. Everybody else had something different to say. It wasn't until I met the Lord, until he introduced himself to me and came into my life. And then I knew where I had come from. And I knew what I was doing here. And I knew where I was going when I would leave here. And it takes a lot to get to the place where you recognize that you are nothing without him. Yes, we can produce sperms and eggs and put them together and make flesh. But unless God, like he did to that, you know, piled up dirt, unless he breathes into it the breath of life, it's just a pile of flesh, just like a pile of dirt. And so the question then becomes, recognizing all of that, what part of us in our personal, family, church, and civic life are we still withholding from God?
Amen. Withholding nothing. Once again, Pastor, you took us there again. And we just want to thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. And, you know, I want everybody all around this world to just take a second and just wish our Pastor O a very happy birthday today. Today's his birthday. Yes, it is. September 18th, Pastor O. Happy birthday, Pastor. All right. Everybody wish you a happy birthday. All right, which takes us to Time to Talk to God, the only one who can meet all your needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear, and doing double duty, is our very own sister, Deaconess June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess June Rogers' Pray to the Lord. Amen.
You say, God is leaning in my direction. So prophesy, I said, he can't live. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You got to say it, say it.
In my
direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed for grace, for favor. This is my seed. Come on, y'all.
To be what I have sown.
Will you raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth, say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.
Amen. I like that. No matter what your circumstances say, it's already getting better. Is it your season? Yes. That's if you got a seed in the ground. And if you want love, then you got to plant seeds of love. And, you know, so we know it's the season, Pastor O's season. So happy birthday, Pastor O. And Kathy didn't say anything, but it is Deaconess Kathy's birthday on Wednesday, so happy birthday to her, and happy birthday to all of you out there that are listening in who I might not know personally who is celebrating a birthday in this season. And just remember that even if I don't know your name, God knows your name, he knows your circumstance, he sees your heart, and he loves you, and he is always going to celebrate your birthday and always going to know your birthday because he preordained and destined when you would come here in this world. So good morning, everyone. I am excited. Oh, God, it's just so nice to be. Even though I can't be there with you physically, I know you're out there and you're here because you want to go before the Lord, and you want to praise him, and you want to worship him, and you want to hear the word that's going to come forth in a few minutes. And so God bless you. So let us go to the altar together in prayer. Again, even though we're all across the world in different places, right now we're all coming together on one accord to say this prayer. So know that God is here with us, because when two or more are gathered in his midst, he is there. So let us pray. Lord God of everything, all that we see and do not see is here because you spoke it into existence. We give you praise for all you have done, all you are doing, and all that you will do for us. You have demonstrated your love for us through the generations, and we cannot thank you enough. Lord, you are so worthy of all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. If we each had thousands of tongues and 24 hours available to give you praise, it still would not be enough. So please, we ask that you accept these humble words of gratitude we utter together this morning in praise and worship to you. Father, before we get into anything like a petition, we must humbly beg your forgiveness for all of the evil, vile, horrible things that we've done with malice and forethought. We also ask for forgiveness for the things that we've done to offend you that we haven't given a second thought to because they become second nature. And finally, we ask your forgiveness for the trespasses that we are truly unaware of. We accept the love from you of which your awesome, complete grace has been bestowed upon us. We acknowledge your sacrifice of sending Jesus Christ to die in substitution for the death we deserve for all of the sins we have committed. And Lord, we are so grateful. Lord God, we also acknowledge that you have asked nothing in return for your gift of salvation. But if we do really appreciate you, like we say we do, then we should want to do that you asked of us. Indeed, Jesus, when you walked the earth, you asked why we would call you Lord if we're not willing to do what you ask. So this morning, Lord, we offer this prayer. We bring to our conscious mind a few of the things that you have asked us to do and request that you would help us as we try to do what we know you want us to do. If we would actually do the main thing that you ask us to do, we would reduce the number of sins we commit drastically while leading the godly and holy lives you encourage us to live. God, you have commanded that we love one another as we love ourselves. Jesus, you've told us to love one another as you have loved us. If we could just really, really, really get that deep down into our spirits, the chances of us doing wrong is unlikely. We say it, but forgive us because we have not meant it. All we have to do is look in the mirror and give ourselves a little test to know if we are being obedient. There is killing, stealing, robbing, lying, cheating, abusing, and all sorts of crime ongoing in the land. And Father, I wish this type of evil behavior was not amongst your children, but sadly, at times, we are imposters. Our behavior is just as despicable as that of the world. Yet if we were just obedient to you and love like you love, we would not do any of those things. Oh, Lord, how we thank you for modeling love to us. In Psalm 100, it says your unfailing love continues forever. Then in Psalm 136 is a long list of evidence of your love. We call attention to it this morning as a reminder to us just how big is your love and for us to recognize the important things that we lay at your altar, the things that matter, the things that we know are in your will because we know that your word is your will. We give thanks to you, God of gods and Lord of lords, for you are good. Your faithful love endures forever. We give thanks to you alone who does mighty miracles. Your faithful love endures forever. We give thanks to you who made the heavens so skillfully. Your faithful love endures forever. We give thanks to you who placed the earth among the waters, who made the heavenly light, the sun to rule the day and the moon and stars to rule the night. Your faithful love endures forever. Lord, we give thanks to you who killed the firstborn of Egypt, who brought Israel out of Egypt, for we know that just as you acted with a strong hand and powerful arm then, you can do it again today. We pray, Lord, that you will deal with the Egypt we face, the mountains that are in our way, especially those things that are in the way of our completely serving you. Your faithful love endures forever. Oh, Lord, Psalm 136 also reminds us that you actually parted the Red Sea and led Israel safely through while you hurled Pharaoh and his army into that sea. Oh, Lord, we face people chasing us as we stand for righteousness. We ask that you protect us, that you show us a way out, even if that means you will have to miraculously move things on this earth, just like you parted that Red Sea. We pray that your will is done through us. Your faithful love endures forever. Father, we give thanks to you who led your people through the wilderness. You did not let powerful kings of biblical times get in the way of the blessings you had in store for your people. And we know you still have plans of prospering us and giving us a future. We pray that anyone that is in the way, Lord God, that you would move them. Your faithful love endures forever. Lord, you gave the land of those wicked kings as an inheritance, as a special possession to your servant Israel. We know that you still can tip the balance of power and the balance of wealth in our favor at any time you see fit. We see the signs and the warnings just as you have told us to, and we know that the time is short. We pray that all in the land will see your hand, that by the way you bless us, your people, all will know and see who you are. We pray that your glory will show forth and that people will be drawn to you and saved through Jesus. Oh, your faithful love endures forever. Oh, God, you remember us in our weakness. You save us from our enemies, and you give food to every living thing. Your faithful love endures forever. Just as by your love you are known, we pray that by our acts of love, people will know that we are disciples of Christ. We place learning and growing to love more for each other on the altar. We believe, as you have proclaimed in 1 Peter 4:8, that we must continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And so we release right now all of our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere on earth. You said it is your wish that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. We acknowledge, Lord, just like your word says, that if we would just keep our mind stayed on you, that you would keep us in perfect peace. Lord, let us not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves, and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. Anything we could think to ask for is covered by love, whether it be the love you show us or the love we should show one another. Lord, you see the prejudice, the terrorist attacks, the hate crime, people being neglected after hurricanes, none of which would be problems if we would only love. God, you're also witnessing the huge failure of a test the world faces in how we are managing the coronavirus. You have given us what we need to defeat the enemy of the virus, to totally stamp it out. But because we will not get on one accord in unity, we still see thousands dying of COVID-19 every day and thousands more spending time in hospitals struggling just to take a breath. The most recent news about how we are handling the virus in the United States left me questioning myself this morning. The United States Food and Drug Administration has decided to only recommend a booster shot for people 65 and older and those with certain medical conditions that make them more susceptible to poor outcomes if they end up with a breakthrough situation. Okay, that medical opinion makes sense to me. But even if it didn't, I'm not the expert on this, Lord. You did not give me that talent nor that gift. You gave it to others, and we need to trust each other. We have got to depend on each other. It's the way you made us. But as you know, Father, because you opened my eyes to see it and to reflect, that's not what caught my attention. It was the report about how health ethical experts are assessing the situation. While there is plenty of vaccine in the United States and plenty for people to get an additional booster dose, it's not so for many, many nations. The ethicist said that we should not be given third optional vaccine doses that are not needed until people across the world have been permitted to get their first dose. In that moment, I could clearly see the elitist thinking of only caring about ourselves, and Satan is enjoying every moment of it. Because through our selfishness, caring only about ourselves, our family, our community, and our nation, this fire called coronavirus will continue to burn through like a wildfire that calms down after the fourth wave, but embers are left for a fifth wave and beyond. Father, please, please help us to see. Help us to see what we're doing to each other. Help us to see what we're not doing. Help us to see this the way you see this, through the eyes of love. Let us see that only by truly loving, that is love that's not just words but backed up with action, that we're never going to advance in this situation or any other situation. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nations, fully aware that as your people call by your name, coming before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways. I just talked about some wicked ways, Lord. We're wicked. We don't care about anybody but ourselves. Forgive us. Lord, if we don't stop doing that, it doesn't matter how many scriptures we're quoting. If we're just lying to ourselves. It doesn't matter what kind of political office we hold. It doesn't matter how we strut around and say this and say that. We don't mean this. If we don't do what you told us to do, where there's a condition in your word like this one, turning from our wicked ways and humbling ourselves and really meaning it, we're not going to see a change. And we need to see a change, Lord. Father, we want to activate your promise of healing our land. We pray for true salvation of those in leadership of our nations. You said the heart of the king is in your hands. We pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledged to undertake. And Lord, if they won't do it, remove them. You have the power to do that, Lord. You gave them responsibility. They pledged it. They're supposed to be good stewards. We're supposed to be good stewards of our families. We're failing our families, Lord. We're failing our communities. All of us need to stop and take a minute and think about it. All of us are leaders. The mother and the father is a leader of their children. The teachers have responsibilities. All of us, Lord, let us remember what stewardship is all about. It's you trusting us with something, with you knowing what you're trusting us with, that we're able to do it. But instead of taking on that mantle of leadership, that title, with the responsibility that goes along with it, we strut and we think about how cool we're going to look and how that title's going to sound. Help us, Lord. Help us to look in the mirror. Help us to see that it is you that's with us. You're the one that's leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember, Father, that you always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you, and that you protect us. So there's nothing that we're laying at your feet this morning that can't happen. You're a God of miracles, but we do need to seek you on things. We need to get your answer. Help us to remember, Lord, we don't have forever. Our days are numbered. Let us get that so that we're about your business. Regardless of what illness or injury ushers a loved one from this earth, we pray for their survivors. Comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit, by acts of kindness, especially from believers, so that they can see you through our works. We put it all at your feet, Lord. Our families, our relationships, our jobs, what you've put on our hearts, everything. We're leaving it right here at the altar. And we're not going to move until you tell us to. We're going to cast our cares on you just like you told us to do. So please hear now, Lord, all of the individual requests that are being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. And we're just so grateful for this venue, and we're so grateful for you listening to us. I pray, Father, that everyone listening is already saved, or that they will be before the service has ended. Oh, Lord, soften their hearts so that your words can get through to them. We offer this offering of praise and worship and teaching to draw men and women to you so that they accept your salvation. We pray for those who are saved already that they keep pressing on. Let them not get tired. Let them not grow weary so that they can get that payday. Lord, we're going to keep pressing on. Father, we recognize that not only are there some tuning in live today in the year 2021, but there are going to be some that will listen to this broadcast well into the future, maybe even during tribulation times. We pray, Lord, that you will open their physical and spiritual eyes so that they will see and understand. We pray for them, Lord. Give them a word for their time. And Heavenly Father, we know you will do this because you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and keep your commands. So we end our prayer this morning, bringing these petitions to you, proclaiming you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only true God, which means that you can do everything according to your word and will, that we ask according to your word and will. So we join heaven this morning with lots of joy, declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And we say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And we seal our prayer in the name that is greater than every name, the name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess as Lord. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Govern yourselves accordingly. There is power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess June Rogers, for praying and making our request known. We appreciate you. Have the best day ever.
You too. To God be the glory.
Yes, ma'am. All right. I am truly having a great time this morning, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following. All right. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Let me be your canvas. Let me be your vision. Let me be your brush that you use to express yourself. Use my life as a backdrop. Use my heart as a light. Now breathe on me what you like. Make it come to life.
Opportunity to praise you and to worship you and to live with you. Help us, Lord, to adhere to your word and to walk and talk with you and allow you access into every aspect of our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters around the world. I'm truly thankful for this opportunity. I always thank Pastor O for the honor and the privilege to share the word with you. The word that the Lord provided comes out of John, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the true vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, I in them, will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Let's look at verse 1. It says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. One thing about vine is they have the main part of the vine, and then they have branches. Grapevines pretty much bear many grapes, like a lot of grapes. And the grapevine back in the Old Testament symbolized Israel's fruitfulness. So when you look here and you see, I am the grapevine, and my Father is the gardener, this is Jesus talking as, you know, God's son and as the true grapevine, because one thing about Jesus is his ministry is fruitful, and it was fruitful, you know, when he walked the earth. And we're supposed to be fruitful, us as Christians who are followers or true followers of Christ. Now, him being the grapevine, he bears the branches that bear the fruit. The second part says, and my Father is the gardener. God the Father runs the show. He's the one that, you know, inspects the vine and prunes the vine and takes care of the grapevine. Amen. Crystal clear. So, by him being the gardener, God oversees everything that's going on with the grapevine, with the branches, with the fruit. That's what Father does. Him being our Father, he's going to take care of his children. No matter what we think, no matter what we're going through, he's going to work with us and take care of us because he first loved us. So, I appreciate the symbolism throughout this passage. And, you know, we just need to keep in mind that the Father, no matter what's going on, he's going to take care of you. Amen? Amen. Verse 2 says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. As God's children, we are supposed to be producing fruit. We're not supposed to just be hanging around doing nothing. So those are the dead branches, you know, that we will get into. When you don't bear fruit, he cuts off that branch. And you do that for the sake of the vine, because a dead branch or a branch that doesn't produce fruit needs to be pruned. It needs to be cut off of the vine so that the vine can continue to grow new branches and produce fruit. A dead branch or a branch that doesn't produce fruit is just in the way. So for a plant to grow properly and to continue to extend its branches and bear fruit, you have to prune it, which means cutting off the dead branches that don't produce fruit for the sake of the vine. One thing that we have to understand is that no matter what, God's agenda and his kingdom is going to move forward and it's going to expand, whether you're in the way or not. It's going to produce, it's going to continue to grow and to expand. It's not going so. As God's children, we should be producing fruit. Now, how do you produce fruit? One of the ways you produce fruit is winning souls for the Lord. And, you know, other ways to be, you know, just prayer, talking to the Lord and communing with him, drawing closer, and not just the vain babblings or the repetitious prayer, but having a relationship with the Lord, because he will give you the instruction that you need day in and out to continue to produce fruit, to show love and, you know, to those fruits of the Spirit, you know, joy, peace, patience. You know, when you draw close to the Lord and you fill up with the Holy Spirit, you will produce fruit. It's not just simply winning souls, but it's an exhibit of God's presence in your life. So when you draw closer to him, when you hang out with the Lord, when you listen to him, when you go to him about any and everything, he will show you how to produce fruit. If Jesus is the vine, we are already plugged into the power. We have everything we need from birth to be awesome, to be great. But once you get saved, you're a part, you're a branch off of the true grapevine, which is Jesus. And God, your Father, is your gardener. So areas of your life that need to be cut off, he will prune those areas in your life. But you have to allow him to do so. And you have to engage in fruit-bearing lifestyles. Those are things that we need to do so that we can be an active part of God's expanding kingdom and his agenda being carried out. Amen? Amen. So it says, so they will produce even more once you're pruned and once, you know, those areas of your life are put in check and cut away. Amen? Amen. Verse 3 says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So because we're saved, we're plugged in because of God's presence in the form of the Holy Spirit, his very presence, the third person of the Godhead, once you get saved, you already have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working with you and in you. So you're already set apart. You're already pruned. He's going to work with you constantly for the simple fact that you're saved and you're purified because you're saved, because we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And thank you for Jesus for going to the cross in my place. So because we're already saved, he's going to continue to work with us, to prune us. It's already come to pass once you got saved. You're pruned and you're purified because of the message, because of the good news, because of what cross and Jesus rising from the grave. So we're already hooked up in that regard. We just need to walk in it and try to get others to do so. Because I don't want to be a dead branch. knowing that I'm already plugged into the vine. I don't just want to hang around and not do nothing and be satisfied simply with being saved and going to heaven when I leave here. I want to bear fruit. I want to leave a legacy of bearing fruit. I want to talk to people and tell people about Jesus. I want to continue to get better and address those areas of my life that need to be cut away and tossed to the side. And I want to draw closer to the Father, my elder brother, and my counselor and comforter. We're already plugged in. We're already purified. We're already pruned. But we got to walk in it, and we got to continue to bear fruit. We need to live fruitful lifestyles as His children. The clock is ticking. Time ain't long. Amen? Amen. Verse 4 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Hey, your bright, best ideas, they don't work. Only thing that works is what the Lord has co-signed and instructed you to do. When you remain in Him, it's that hanging out. It's that communing. It's that getting all up in His bosom and allowing Him to put His arms around you and instruct you on a daily basis. We have so many things that can help us in this with just the word. We have technology. We have other resources that, in addition, that help us understand the word. And then we have divine relationship. We don't have to figure it out. We just really have to kick it with the Lord. I want Him to bless every aspect of my life. I don't want to engage in things and behaviors that are not fruitful. Because, again, it says, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. That's true. You can look at, if you may not be have vines anywhere near you, just cut off, you have a tree, just cut the branch off and see what happens. It's going to die. It starts dying as soon as it's cut off from the tree, from the source of its life. And I don't know if you believe or what you may think, but the Lord is the source of our lives. He holds our very lives in His hand. It's scientific, it's spiritual, it's natural, it's organic. Whatever spin you want to put on it, but it's the truth. You cut a branch off from its source of life, it dies. And that's the same thing for us as humans. If your source of life is cut off, we start dying and we die. Amen? So, you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Starts it off and ends the verse the same. Remain in me. When you think about things, run it by me. When you have ideas, run it by me. When you want to do something, run it by me. Make sure I'm good with it so that we're locked and loaded together so that you can be successful at whatever you do. I'm coming to realize that what the Lord says about a thing is true. He doesn't want to harm you. He has your best interest at heart all the time. He wants you to be inspired enough to tell people about your relationship with Him, to tell people about how you got over or how you got through something that was a tough time, or how you were dealing with depression or drug abuse or you know, sexual sins, whatever it may be, and how you got over. Yes, we're going to struggle with things. We're going to have our issues. But he wants us to remain in him no matter what. That's the hookup. That's the covering. That's the protection. That's the insurance, assurance. But we have to do it by remaining in him. Because once we're cut off, there's death involved in that. Amen? Amen. Verse 5 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know how we have those plans and we make sure we follow them to the T and they fail time and time again? It's because they're outside of him. Let me read verse 5 again. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. He's the source of life. He's the source of everything for us. We are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to produce fruit and to continue to produce more fruit as we remain attached as branches to the true vine, which is Jesus. He gave us a positive example of how to do this thing called life. We have to understand our role as branches. It's our job to produce fruit. Others admire your fruit, and they wonder, how is it that you produce so much fruit? And it gives you an opportunity to expand the vine by drawing someone into our family, the eternal family, so that they can become a branch off of the vine. Because without him, we can do nothing. Without the tree, without the vine, branches can't do anything. And you want to be that vine, you want to be that branch that produces the fruit that attracts people to Jesus. That's our job. We already know without him we can't do it. But we're locked in, those of us who are saved. We're already attached to the vine. We're already purified. We're already pruned. The Father is our gardener. He's taking care of us. And that's all past tense. We're good to go on that. But it's about the fruit that we produce because it has eternal ramifications. We need to be attracting people to the Lord. And the only way we can do it is his way. But, you know, if you're not saved, you're one of those dead branches. And, you know, we'll use it for wood. They don't take live branches and throw them in the fire. Those are usually dead branches, wood that has been separated from the tree. Old vine branches that are separated from the vine, they dry up and they die. And they're used for such things as fire, to build a fire. But on the eternal end, those branches who were never attached to the vine, they go to hell. Eternal fire. But, you know, there's a way that you could be attached to that vine eternally as a branch that produces wonderful fruit. And it's just simply believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and that he rose from the grave to pay for your sins, past, present, and future. If you believe that, because it happened. Historically, Jesus walked the earth. He died on the cross at Calvary, and he rose from the grave. That's why we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And he did that to pay for all of our sins. I'm so glad that he went to the cross in my place. And I'm going to continue to say that because Jesus didn't deserve the cross. John did. But if you believe that, then all you have to do is repeat after me in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life right now so that I can be a fruit-bearing branch on you, the true vine. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer after believing that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave for you and for all your sins, then you're saved. You just want to get attached to a good Bible-based church, and you want to get into a good fruit-bearing lifestyle attached to the true vine. Amen? Let us pray, Lord. We thank you so much, Jesus, for being our true vine. We thank you, Father, for being the gardener, taking care of us and keeping us, pruning us, purifying us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for encouraging us and counseling with us and comforting us and teaching us how we can bear fruit. We already got the hookup, and I'm so thankful. Help us to attract more people to the family as we bear fruit, as we tell our stories, as we are honest and transparent about the struggles of living in a sinful body, but having the Holy Spirit residing in us. We're more than conquerors. We're victors eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. That was a wonderful word. Nice and calm and safe, and we didn't get fussed at. Absolutely beautiful. So many things that you said stuck out to me, but a couple of things that we can't live our lives on our own. We cannot live our lives separate or apart from the Lord. And everything that we are, our entire being is connected to God. And, you know, we were all created in the image and in the likeness of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. So we were not created to live apart from the Lord. And, he's our source of power. You know, Jesus came because we needed a Savior. He didn't just come, you know, and say, hey, I was here and then died. But he came and he died and he rose on the third day. And he left his Holy Spirit with us so that we can always remain connected to him, although he's no longer physically here. And technically, for all of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus is here on earth through each and every one of us. And so we are all, in a sense, little mini Jesuses walking around here because we have a Holy Spirit. And so we have to represent him, and we have to stay connected to our source, to our vine, in order to be able to be overcomers in this thing called life. So thank you, Pastor Tate, for bringing us that amazing word this morning. We're always grateful. And so after announcements, Pastor is going to come back with the preacher for the day and give us some closing words. Amen. So happy Saturday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Saturday morning worship service. Good morning. Again, we always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour. This morning was Pastor Jonathan Tate for bringing us the word today. And we know that he's always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so we thank him always for his faithfulness and his consistency, but most of all, his obedience to bring forth the word. And so we pray that everyone who listened this morning was blessed in some way by what you heard this morning in our service. Amen. So Run for Christ Ministries is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple of reminders that our new class, Get a Grip, is here. Amen. We're so excited. We had a wonderful class this past Monday. So each week we will be discussing different topics on mental health and how it relates to Christianity and learning how to just keep it all together when things go wrong. We had an awesome discussion on Monday, and I'm so looking forward to the rest of the class. Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, who you heard pulling double duty this morning, is our amazing teacher. So please join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. I know we haven't had a Monday class in a while, but we're back in and back on. So set yourself a reminder to tune in on Mondays at 6 p.m. for Get a Grip. And also spread the word and let someone know about this class. Mental health is really important. There's different levels of mental health. We kind of learned about that on Monday. There's a lot of different things and ins and outs of this. So it's really, really beneficial. So let somebody know about the class and make sure you tune in on Monday at 6 p.m. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his series Training Day. So if you're not tuning into that, please do on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Awesome, awesome, awesome teaching. Also, on Wednesday, our Bible reading class is held here at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Deaconess Nicole C. Brooks is going to continue in the teaching of the book of Job. So she's going to be doing chapters 15 to 19 this week. So the questions will be emailed and will be online for you to access. And for those in attendance in Sunday service, they will be on the back table. So if you need to look them up online, please just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, as you all know, we are back in person for our Sunday services. And so tomorrow, Sunday, September 19th, we will be having our Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. As always, we are asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. If you don't have one, one is provided for you so that everyone can remain. Our amazing praise team will lead us in song worship, and Pastor O will bring us the preach word. I know last week he spoke about the tribulation period, and I feel like I heard him mention this week he's going to continue speaking about that, speaking about like the second 3.5 years of the tribulation and the 1,000-year reign and the white throne judgment and all that stuff. I feel like I heard him say that, so we're going to go with that. Amen. So Pastor O is going to bring the preach word. And so make sure to come on out tomorrow. If you're not able to make it out physically for whatever reason, or you're just not really comfortable with doing that yet because of COVID, it's okay. We are still live on Blog Talk Radio, so you can just tune in live at 10 a.m., and you will hear and experience everything that we are hearing and experiencing with us together. We're in person and y'all on the phone, but it's okay. We're all together. And so we know that everybody can't make it out. And so for whatever reason, if you can, just definitely listen online. But if you can make it out, come on out and be with us in person. Amen. Amen. We're so thankful to God for allowing us to return to be in person to see one another. And we don't take that for granted. I don't think after COVID and us being away from each other for so long, I don't ever think we'll take it for granted again. Amen. So this Wednesday, September 22nd, is the fourth Wednesday of this month. And on the fourth Wednesday of this month and for the next couple months, really until November, from about 10 a.m. for setup till about 1:30 in the afternoon, Minister Shelley and First Fruit Living Ministries, as well as Pastor O, and anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of our FCM, our Run for Christ Ministries, our physical building, right at the bus stop, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches and having conversations with people. Pastor has said, out of everything that is done there, the most that people want, the one thing that people want the most, I should say, is prayer. And so that's really, really important. So if you're able to make it out this Wednesday, September 22nd, starting at around 10 a.m. for setup, please do. Your presence is welcome. Amen? Amen. So every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn has her own Blog Talk Radio show entitled Back to the Family. Amen? And Back to the Family discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. And so you can find her call-in number on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. There's a phone number there. There's also a link to the class. And there's a website for bring back the family. It is B as in boy, B as in boy, T as in Tom, F as in Frank, US.com. So BBTFUS.com. Amen. So check that out as well, and make sure to support and listen in on Sundays at 4 p.m. Amen. As a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio, as you guys know, are recorded and archived, but most of all, they're free, accessible 24/7, 365, all the way to the beginning of when Pastor O started this thing up after he lost his fear, and after Deaconess Kathy told him, you're home. Nobody can see you. It's okay. And so Pastor finally stepped on out and did this thing, and it has really turned into something that I don't think any of us could have imagined. And so we're very grateful for Blog Talk Radio. And so you can be grateful for Blog Talk Radio too, because again, everything is recorded and archived, and it's free, accessible 24/7, 365. RFCM.org is the place you want to go. Click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, and again, you'll have access to all of our classes and our services from the very beginning. So make sure to download them and share them with others. Amen. If you want to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries and give a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to take care of your tithes and give any additional offerings towards our outreach ministries that we support, again, the church website, rfcm.org, is the place to go. All the info you need will be, right there for you. In addition to this, if you'd like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Pastor Jonathan Tate, again, rfcm.org, under tithes and offerings, you can give your love offering there. Just notate who it's for, and it will be passed on to the preacher accordingly. Amen? Amen. So, why do we pray? I've been asking y'all this for a little minute now, so this should be just about memorized or at least answered, okay? So, number one, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship and not religion, okay? Pastor Jonathan Tate just talked about the vine and the branches and being connected and remaining in him so he can remain in us. He wants to connect with us personally. He wants a relationship with us, all right? Number two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. We know that God is not unaware of what goes on with us. Duh, I mean, he is all-knowing. Nothing catches him by surprise, but God is a gentleman, and he wants to be invited into our lives. He's not going to force himself in. He'll stand at the door, and he'll knock, and he will patiently wait until you let him in. Amen? Number three, prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not a one-way conversation. Number four, God wants your heart. So when you speak to God from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know both good things and bad. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings the evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. And yet we all got good, we all got bad, but we sure got a whole lot of ugly. Amen. So give God your heart. He can handle it. You know, you can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and the mercy of Jesus Christ. It is literally inexhaustible. Amen. And number five, lastly, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. I use the analogy all the time of, if I teach my child how to tie their shoe, and they learn it, and they do it every single day, over and over and over, they know how to do it. If one day they come to me and say, hey, can you tie my shoe? I don't know how to do it. Yes, you do. I'm not going to tie your shoe for you. Why? Because you know already what to do. Amen? So he's not going to do for us what he's already given us the ability and the authority to do for ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It all starts as a spiritual battle, and it manifests itself here in the physical realm. So prayer is our weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and we've been given authority over him. So when the enemy starts attacking, use the power of prayer to fight back. We use the word of God to fight off the enemy, as it's only the word of God that he responds to. So why do we pray? Because we have the power and authority to do so, and because it's essential to being victorious in every area of our life. Amen. Even Jesus had to pray, and he was fully God and fully man. So if Jesus had to pray, none of us are exempt. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5, which we just heard preached so eloquently today, says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, 8 says, The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we must seek God and stay connected to him in all that we do. And he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ and serve in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18 says, Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. If you turn those worries into prayers, if you turn those fears into prayers, if you turn those concerns into prayers, next thing you know, you're praying all day, every day. Amen. And so as always, we ask your prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Of course, pray for one another personally. Make sure to pray for those who obviously you don't know, which tends to be or should be a larger part of our prayers. Of course, pray for yourself. That is very important. Amen. It doesn't make you selfish when you pray for yourself, but we also have to remember that it's not just about us. Amen. Of course, pray for my kids, your kids, their kids, our kids, all everybody, all of our children, especially with them being back in school, our nation, our world as a whole, our leaders as they constantly face major decisions that affect all of us, those who are missing and exploited, those who are being sexually trafficked and abused. Of course, make sure to continue to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Again, the list of prayer and things to pray for is inexhaustible, so just continue to pray. Amen. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers that Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please continue to pray for Deaconess Leitris Cowan, Tyrone Hamilton, and again, Mother Cheryl, she gets an extra, extra special dollop of prayer because that's her husband. Amen. Keep Elder Joe Stevens and his family in your prayers, as well as Pastor John Mack. Please keep all the nurses and doctors and all in the medical field in your prayers as they continue to face the challenges that, you know, are reoccurring with the Delta on the rise and, you know, dealing with patients for extended amounts of time and just simply being just drained. They are completely wore out mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically. They are exhausted. So we have to keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen. It takes a special person to be a doctor or a nurse or a caregiver. It's a lot because it's not just you providing care for someone. There's all types of other connections there. And so we have to make sure that we keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen. Continue to pray for those who are still dealing with, you know, adverse weather, hurricanes, flooding, earthquakes, tornadoes. We know these things go on all over the world, and they're devastating. So just continue to keep everyone lifted in prayer. Amen. We got to pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, you know, the ones who the devil is convinced that God is and not who he is. Okay, and so we have to remember Acts chapter 8, verse 1, which says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which today is your household, your immediate household, your family, Judea, your community, Samaria, outside of your comfort zone to people in places where you wouldn't normally associate with or go to in today's day and time, and to the ends of the earth, and then people in places you like, nope, you never, ever, never going over there. Well, you know, they need the word of God as well, and it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. We don't say nothing about people, okay? But we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment. And so this life is short. Pastor John would say all the time, time ain't long, saint. And God is not bound by time, but we are. So Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. So don't force your way or stand in line to get into a place that's not created for you. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I, and we know that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you. And I will come back to take you to be with me where I am. We have a place, and it's not in hell. Amen. Amen. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5, 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, but let us not mourn as those who are hopeless. Revelation 21, 4, he, and that he is Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. Just imagine that. So when you're sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend, a loved one, or even with, you know, all of the loss that we see here and read about all over the world that we're inundated with on a daily basis, use these scriptures and the whole Word of God to give you strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. And so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, and love, as well as peace upon you. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today, because as Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Imagine that too. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or who are celebrating today. We send special love and birthday wishes out to our Running for Christ Ministries family. Today is a very special day because our HSIC, that's our head shepherd in charge at Running for Christ Ministries, Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall, is celebrating his birthday today, right now, as we speak, probably over there eating some cake or something, as he should be eating it all day long, 24 hours. It's his birthday, y'all. So happy, happy birthday to him. Also, TJ Cowan celebrated on the 17th. Deacon Charles Mackey celebrated on the 12th. Brother Deacon Oliver on the 11th. I'm going backwards. Deacon Charles Tate on the 14th. Nikhil will be celebrating on the 21st. And our amazing presider here on Blog Talk Radio, Deaconess Kathy, will be celebrating on the 22nd. So happy, happy, happy birthday to everyone. Amen. Amen. And so Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33 reads, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, is it a ghost? And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. So your devotional for today, God's provision. Amen. And this is by In Touch Ministries / Dr. Charles Stanley. So we all face trials. Realistically, if you're not currently in a storm, you're either just getting out of one or about to enter one. Thankfully, we serve a good God who always provides, including during the dark periods of life. Today's passage tells of a stormy night on the Sea of Galilee. Let's look at three ways Jesus provides for us today, just as he did for the disciples back then. So number one, with his presence. God is with every believer through his indwelling Holy Spirit, and he promises to never leave. John 14, verses 16 through 17, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. This is a great gift because it gives a sense of comfort, courage, and confidence. Number two, pathway. He blesses Christians with guidance through trouble. Jesus is in total control of our storm, and he will use it for his purposes. We may not understand, but we can trust him to lead us and accomplish good. And number three, potential. He offers believers the ability to grow. Hardships are exercises in trust and times to learn more fully who God is and how great his power and love are. No one enjoys trials, but we can be grateful for God's hand in our life and the ways he will use us. Hardships are opportunities to trust the Creator and to get to know him better. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Okay, you know, I got to stop listening to you because I keep forgetting that I got to do stuff after you stop talking. She's just like, you know, you're the one who comes in when she's through. I'm like, well, stop making her be so interesting. I'm over here writing stuff down anyway. I'm over here taking notes and she's like, so
Lord
you
Jesus.
What you gonna do?
Or what?
Thank you,
Crystal.
Well,
happy birthday, Pastor. Oh, y'all, we love you. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Love you back. Tell me
all right.
You said, hey, amen.
We sure will. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. She make her announcements so full of good information. I'm over here listening. I wrote down stuff. Jesus, like, don't you have a job to do? Oh, Jonathan, I'm telling you, man. Thanks for that reconnection, you know, staying in the vine, you know, because you don't want to be the branch that's cut off and becomes literally, as a Christian, we know we won't go to hell, but we become useless. Once the branch is severed from the tree, and when you was preaching, Jesus said, remember when you got bored in the office over the winter and you went out with Ishmael, the tree guy? And you know, it's exactly what you said. There are certain branches on a tree that he showed me. He said, that one is there as a crosser. It prevents other branches from growing. And he said, that one there is a sucker. All it does is take up nutrients and produce nothing. So what we did was cut off the crossers and the suckers. That way the tree could bloom better. And those branches just basically fell to the ground and were no longer a useful part to the tree. And that's what we want to avoid. And so good word, man. Good word, good word, good
Thank
word.
You.
Thanks for letting Jesus use you. Thanks for making it. Thanks for not trying to be one of them kind of preachers that just show off, but one that make the word plain. So, you know, because you can pick it up like Crystal and just run with it. You know, that lets me know that people got it, and that's this whole thing.
Well, I'm thankful because I have a good teacher who taught me just speak the word, period. Don't try to make it nothing more or less. Just speak the word. It's right there for you, you know, and I appreciate it, you know, so. Real simple, just stay attached to the vine and bear fruit, you know, and happy birthday, Pastor O. Cub.
Amen. Thank you. I've been kidding them since last night. I mean, people up at 12 o'clock at night, my phone just clingling, 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 but I thank God that many people are thinking about me, so I praise God for that. Okay, I confess, in the middle of the night, it ain't so good here. Clink, 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 clink.
Nah, not
you
at
know.
All.
You got to
wait till
God
about 9:30 with that.
Exactly. Or 10 o'clock. That's my
right.
time. After 10, I win. But before that, you know, I might be a little funny.
Right.
So thank you, preacher, and give us some words. And well, I guess those are good enough. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Stay in the vine. Stay connected. You know, but we get now. I'm trying to preach. So anyway, thank you, preacher. Have a blessed day. Tell them boys. Hey,
you
said,
too.
Hey.
Will do.
Amen. You know, I thank God for having such awesome help. You know, back when I was scared to death in 2002, June of 2002, when the Lord made it plain to me he wanted me to be a pastor, I became deathly afraid. And he asked me, what is your fear? When he asked that, he already know. He just wanted me to spit it out. And I said, Lord, I mess up everything. And you're asking me to do something that is a thing. I'm just going to mess this thing up. And he told me, no. And I told him, I don't know how to do any of these things you're talking about. He said, I got people. I'm going to send people who can do all these things that you're afraid of. And I'll let them do those things. And there you go. And the Lord has done that. We have teachers. We have preachers. Even folks who just not, you know, a called teacher or a preacher, if they had to, they could get up and speak a word because the Lord has prepared them that way. And I thank him for that. So a birthday present to me is everything the Lord has done at Runner for Christ with the people, his people, since 2003. That is my birthday present every year. Of course, my wife is my everyday birthday present, but Runner for Christ Ministries, okay, that's what matters to me, because when I die or depart from here to not go to hell like what Crystal was talking about, but go to that prepared place, I love hearing that. You can say that every Saturday, Crystal. I won't get tired of hearing Jesus got a place for Pastor O. Amen. When I get ready to go there, I'm going to have to face Jesus, and he's going to ask me about pastoring Runner for Christ. And each member, and I want to be able to give an account. I want to be, when Jesus come back, I want to be like them folks over there in Matthew 25. He said, I gave you two. What's up? He gave us literally two, me and Sheila. And I'm like, but now we've become what we are. And I thank him for that. So I'm going to have, I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now, come on, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. And only Jesus can tell me that. And so I live my life constantly remembering I'm going to have to give an account. Okay, and Hebrews 13 talks about that same thing. Paul says your pastor going to have to give an account. So kind of work with him, make the job easy for him, because he's going to have to stand in front of Jesus one day and give an account of every single soul the Lord allowed to come under him or her for however long. But I'm not afraid of it because I work hard at it every single day because I hang out with him every day. He's a lot of fun. He likes to laugh and tell jokes and things. Well, praise God, we've been able to get out of church here on a few Saturdays before 12 o'clock. So that's always a good thing. Three things. This Monday's class, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers will be, she had a previous engagement before the class came up, so this is nothing new. I knew about it a long time ago. And so I'm going to sit in for her. So what I would like for you to do, those of you who are going to attend the Get a Grip series class this Monday, remember the reading assignment, Job chapters 1 through 3. You didn't have nothing to do. Now you do. Job 1 through 3, 6 through 7, chapter 10, chapter 21, 29 through 30, and 42. We're going to talk about somebody who got hit and hit hard, and he ain't lose his mind. He got a little impatient, but he ain't lose his mind. Wanted to talk to Jesus about something, but he ain't lose his mind. So if you want to know how God can keep us in a world every day trying to drive you crazy, tune in Monday to the Get a Grip series, The Church and Mental Health. It's a workshop, y'all, the Lord trying to help us keep from going crazy. So the rest of the world can be like Egypt when God was tearing that up. They can be over there in Egypt running around pulling their hair out, But we're over in the land of Goshen. Amen. Talking about, oh, I know that hurt. But anyway, amen. So go there to chapter 1, and we're going to discuss those verses. Okay, if you've forgotten what I just said or didn't get it because I said it real fast, go to our church website, rscm.org, and just click on Bible classes, and it's right there. Okay, if you happen to go by our church office, 3409 West Jefferson in Ecorse, okay, and you see somebody in the office driving a Range Rover, well, that's our church attorney. That's my daughter, okay? Nobody has broken into the office. And no, that is not my girlfriend. That is my daughter, and she's a lawyer, and so she is our church lawyer, okay, church counsel. So she'll be in the office from time to time, so that's her. Every time somebody see a young woman around me, she's my – I was even accused of having a young girl when we in the truck with me when we were out working, and I'm like, but Sheila was there. Who is this young girl? Turns out Sheila was the young girl. And I'm like, well, she looked young, and they calling me an old man with a young girl. But anyway, that's who will be in the office. And you heard Crystal tell you my sermon tomorrow. We're going in the rapture, in the seven-year tribulation period, talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to move on to thousand-year reign of Christ or second coming of Christ, thousand-year reign. Then we're going to move on to the white throne judgment. That is, again, what Crystal will be talking about. Listen to her. When she says God got a prepared place for us, in Matthew 25 and 30 and 41, it says he got a place prepared for the devil and his angels. That's not you. You ain't no angel, right? We sure ain't. But you go to John chapter 2, I think it's verse 2 or 3, it says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. So Jesus got a prepared place, and God got a place prepared for the devil and those that follow him. And that shouldn't be you. Amen, all these churches on every corner. So we're going to talk about the white throne judgment. Then we're going to talk about what all this is all about, where God's taking us, where all of this is headed. It's headed to Revelation 21 and 22 when God shall wipe away your crystal again. See, all over the place. In Revelation, he shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. Everything that could make us have tears in our eyes will no longer exist. God taking it all away. So if you get a chance, come out to the service tomorrow. If you can't come out to the service, again, Crystal say, are you to just let Crystal talk. Just tune into our service, amen, on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. You can call in. You can log in. Get the information, rfcm.org. Worship services, click on Sunday worship. Information is right there. Amen. Okay, all of that being said, Cabo, you heard me playing songs by Hiroshima at the end of the service. This one is called Cabo. What is Cabo? Cabo, if you look it up, is what the Filipinos use. It simply means cleansing, cleaning up. In this song, it says, Tabo's a friend of mine. It says, Cabo, he went away to get the truth for us. It says, Cabo, he gives his life for us and his cleansing blood in the same at the same time. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Love the music. Listen to the words. Cabo, he'll do it for you. See you later. Ooh, real quick, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we all meet again. Amen. Cabo, he gives his life for us, y'all.